Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in. This is LSEC Publishing Radio, and I am your host, Teresa Banks. If you'd like to dial into the program, whether it be to listen or just to chit-chat a bit, either to ask some questions or voice some comments, you are more than welcome to do so by calling 626-213-5738. Now, I have a special guest that's on the line today. His name is Bernard Turner. He's the founder of Highlights of Chicago Press, and he's published a number of different books, including A View of Bronzeville, TJ and the Mysterious Stranger, and The Windy City Tour Guide. He also conducts different tours of Bronzeville and Black Chicago. Bernard, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Teresa. I'm glad to be here, and it's a pleasure speaking to people about what I do and what I love.
Well, you're very welcome, and I tell you, as I look through your background, and I know I've met you a number of times, we've done different book events together, and I should have asked you a long time ago. Now, did you grow up here in the Chicagoland area, and specifically in Bronzeville?
Well, believe it or not, I was born in Bronzeville in Provident Hospital, and I grew up mainly in Chicago, and I lived for a little bit in Michigan, but for the most part, I grew up in Chicago and attended Chicago Public Schools.
Oh, wow, nice. And I know we have people that listen to this program across the Chicagoland area and in various states, sometimes in other countries. Can you tell us, what are the streets that border the Bronzeville area?
Well, that's a good question because there's been a lot of controversy about it, but I'll tell you what is currently being said about the neighborhood since we're working on making Bronzeville a national heritage destination. The borders should be really from about 12th Street all the way out to maybe 67th Street. And when you think about Chicago neighborhoods, many of them started out as townships. For example, Hyde Park was a township, and its borders extended all the way out to, you know, what we consider to be the suburbs now. Mm-hmm. But when it was annexed to the city, it was made smaller. So the border that we're talking about for Bronzeville really will encompass everything from about 12th Street to 67th Street on the north and south, and then what's the Dan Ryan on the west, and the lake on the east.
Okay, and thank you for that, because I know as I've read different books over the past, and of course growing up as a kid, you don't know. I had no idea that I actually grew up in that area, right off 47th Street and Greenwood, and the Bronzeville area is rich with so much history, including the Met Theater used to be there, and Dr. King's workshop and Operation Push. And one thing that really struck my interest in visiting your website is these tours that you do, or I should say are these tours that you do. And there's so many different landmarks that you visit and some of these different stops. I thought, now what about these stops? What's going on with these stops? Like two of them are Chess Records and Quinn Chapel. What's the historical significance or maybe Black America, African American significance with those two stops, for example?
Well, Chess Records was actually a record label back in the 50s that had very famous African American musicians, people like Etta James and people like, I can't think of all of them, Fontella Bass, Ramsey Lewis, just a whole bunch of people who actually got their start there and became famous. So it's, even though it was owned by two Jewish brothers who migrated from Poland to the United States, most of the musicians were African American and became very, very famous. I was looking at my book to see if I can find some other ones that people really know about. Chuck Berry, Etta James, Bo Diddley, Willie Dixon, Muddy Waters, Fontella Bass, Ahmad Jamal, Ramsey Lewis. Those are some of the kinds of musicians that were on that label. So those are definitely people that I think are very famous and well-known. And Quinn Chapel is really one of the oldest churches in Chicago. And it was started off as a prayer group in the 1840s. And the church that's there at Wabash and 24th and Wabash was actually built by that congregation. And what's really significant about it is the organ that's in the church actually came from the World's Columbian Exposition of 1893. So it's a historic church for the people who, you know, started it, and it's historic for Chicago. When you think about, Chicago was founded in 1837 as a city, and this church became, you know, a church group in 1844, and it was African-American. So that tells you a little bit about the history of Chicago as well as the church itself and the building. So it's really a historic landmark in the city.
Oh, wow. And I know I saw another tour stop being Wendell Phillips High School, and my grandfather attended there. And I thought, you know, let me look up this guy. You know, let me see who he is, because I couldn't recall him from history. And it was amazing learning that he stopped practicing law, that he had witnessed a near lynching at one time and was just so moved by that. And so is that one of the reasons that's on the tour due to his place in history, if you will?
Well, for one thing, a lot of people don't know the origins of the names of the people after whom schools are known, named. A lot of people don't know that he was an anti-slavery person and an orator. But yeah, that's one of the reasons. But the real reason is all of the people who actually, the African American people who actually graduated from Wendell Phillips High School. And if you go into the high school in the wall, they have what is called a walk of fame in the school, and they have pictures of all the famous notable people who graduated from there in the school. So it's really the people that make it such a historic place. One other thing that I think is notable is that people think of the Harlem Globetrotters, the basketball team, as being something that started in New York. Well, it wasn't started in New York. It was actually started with a team from Wendell Phillips High School. Mm. So that's something else that a lot of people don't know about.
Well, it sounds like it is definitely worth going on this tour. Now, how would someone either visiting Chicago or living here in Chicago, how would they sign up, and are there costs that are associated with the tour?
Oh, yeah. Actually, anyone can contact me via email at bturner@highlightsofchicago.com, or you can get more information on my website, highlightsofchicago.com, about the tours. And I like to provide them for school groups, church groups, organizations, family reunions, you know, just any kind of group that would like to organize a tour. And depending upon how many people, I would give them, you know, a fee based on how many hours the tour was. But it's really customizable to the group and, you know, to the budget, or the budget that's available.
Okay, which I think is even better. You know, that helps the group, mm-hmm. as you said, get a hold of you, figure out, you know, how they'd like to go about doing it. And there's so many different points of interest and points of value that are on this tour. I definitely think that people should go. I think I need to go. Look at it. Your
yeah,
site.
I think you would enjoy it.
I believe it. And then, you know, I did more reading up on you, and I see that you've studied German, and you've taught both German as well as Spanish. So I'm always curious on how people selected a particular language of study. So is there any particular reason you chose German and Spanish?
Yeah, actually, when I went to college, I decided a long time before that, but I wanted to be a doctor, and everyone said German is a good language to take if you want to be in the sciences or if you want to go into medicine, because there's a lot of literature and, you know, studies that are done in the German language. So that would be a good language to learn. But as I got further in college, I decided to actually major in German because
mm-hmm.
I just liked it. I liked it a lot, and I just really always enjoyed it. So that's how I learned German. And Spanish I basically have picked up, you know, in various countries that I've visited, Mexico and Puerto Rico, and, you know, just picked it up here and there. And I haven't had a whole lot of formal training in Spanish, maybe only about what would amount to a minor in Spanish. So, you know, it's a good language to have, excuse me, especially in Chicago, because there's so many Spanish speakers here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I love the English-Spanish coloring book that you put together. Now, will you do an English-German version of that coloring book?
I haven't really decided about putting out any other versions of the coloring book. Probably a good one would be to do the English version. You know, it's a matter of marketing and who it might appeal to. So I'm just sort of thinking about that right now and thinking about what other kind of books I'm going to write in the future.
And then tell us now about your new book that's coming out. Science Makes Friends, I believe, is the title that I saw of it. Now, when's that coming out, and what kind of, you know, teachings will it have for the young people as they pick this up?
Well, Science Makes Friends is a children's story that I wrote a couple of years ago. I'm really hoping to get that published by a major publishing company, as, you know, just to have as a feather in my cap. Not only am I self-published, but I'm published by a major publishing company, and so far that hasn't happened. But the story is about conservation, and it's about helping kids to understand how important it is to learn about science and about saving species in the world. So it's an interesting little story. Part of it takes place here in Chicago, and part of it takes place in Ecuador.
Oh, nice. And then where would people pick that book up, as well as the other books that I mentioned that you've written as well?
All of my books are available for purchase on the website, highlightsofchicago.com, and in various museums such as the DuSable Museum of African American History and the Cultural Center and the Chicago History Museum. So those are all good places where you can go and find my books.
Okay, nice. And I know you mentioned self-publishing, and my friend, I tell you, I know that journey because that's the route I took as well, self-publishing. And do you find, at least I do, I find marketing to be the biggest challenge. Do you find that as well, that, you know, just to try to get the word out and market the book, promote it, that that's one of the biggest challenges with self-publishing?
Most definitely. That is the most difficult thing to do. You know, a lot of people figure if you get just get your book into Amazon.com, that that's going to be the best way for you to get your book out there. But, I mean, even though people do order them from Amazon.com, Amazon.com gets all the money for it. So
yes,
that's really not something that helps me to get, you know, revenue from the books that I publish or even pay for, you know, the expenses of getting it published. So I have to do other things, and one of the things that I do is I go to schools and I talk to the children in the schools and, you know, tell them about my books. And that way, that's another way of, you know, promoting the books. And then the tours that I give, you know, when I give the tours, not only do I give them privately, but I also am a docent at the Chicago History Museum. And I do tours, like walking tours in Lincoln Park, walking tours in Old Town, and as well as L tours. And I always tell people about the book, you know, books that way. So that's another way that I get the word out. But you're right. The most difficult thing is the marketing, especially when you're self-published.
And I tell you, I'm so glad you mentioned Amazon. I mean, we always look first at the wide appeal that it has, where, you know, your books are out there, but you're the one doing the work, directing the people there. And the key thing you said is so true, that they're looking for a huge percentage back, as well as they started recently an annual fee that they charge you. And in Chicago, I know you and I have done, like, the Printer's Row event that's held every year in June. Do you think Chicago just needs more events, kind of like a New York, or do you think it's better, as you said, to almost like make and create your own events?
Yeah, I think Chicago does need more events, but my biggest success every year is the Printer's Row Book Fair. I absolutely love doing the book fair, and I seem to get more customers that way than, you know, than any other way, and I'm going to continue to do it.
Oh, wow. Now, you know, one thing I know I have not done, and I've been in this whole book world a number of years, and I just don't branch out of the city enough. Now, how about you? Do you go outside of Chicago, whether it be, you know, not just the suburbs, but actually other cities to try and sell and participate in their events?
Well, I haven't so much in the past. But I think as I move forward with other books that are more appealing to the general public, I will do that more. Most of my books are about Chicago, so mostly people from Chicago and the suburbs are going to be interested in them. But, you know, books like the coloring book, for example, would be, you know, something that anyone would be interested in. So I think I probably will branch out a little more in the future.
Yeah, and I hear you. I think that's certainly the ideal thing to do. But then you have to look at, you know, the planning with it, the costs associated, and you know, it's a balancing act, like you said, in being a published author and giving the tours, and you give the lectures at the museums. So how do you find the balance of it all and trying to do, you know, everything and still do the side that you also love with the writing? How do you balance it?
Yeah, it is. It's just the only thing that I can say is that I really get a lot of satisfaction out of it, so I make the time to do it. And, mm-hmm. you know, everybody's got their own work ethic and way of prioritizing things, but I do prioritize things according to what gives me the most satisfaction. So unfortunately or fortunately, I still have a full-time job, so that's the number one thing. And then
yeah.
the second thing that I love to do is write and promote the books and, you know, do the tours and things like that. So I have to prioritize like everybody else.
Okay, I hear you. And then have you thought, like you were saying with the one book on Science Makes Friends, have you considered maybe using a publicist or a literary agent of some kind? I'm sorry, what did you say? Can you hear me now?
Are you still there, Teresa?
Yes, I'm still here. Are you able to hear me? Bernard? Okay, sounds like we may be having a problem with the phone. Let me play just a little music, and I'll see if I can get Bernard back on. I'll be right back.
Teresa, are you still there?
Okay, Bernard, are you back? Bernard, are you able to hear me? Okay, it sounds like we may still be having a phone issue. I will try and see if I can get Bernard back on the call here. I'll be right back.
Yep, I'm back.
Oh, okay, great. I don't know what happened. Sometimes this Blog Talk switchboard acts up. I'm glad you're able to call back in. I don't know what happened with the line there. I'm sorry that we had a little
no
break
problem.
There in our time. Now, we were talking about this madness with this balancing act with self-publishing. And I know you mentioned you were a self-published author. I am as well. One thing I typically do is use a printing company to do the work. So I create the manuscript, put the work together in typed form, and then use a printing company to print it. Some people use print-on-demand companies off the Internet to do one
mm-hmm.
book at a time. Now, which route have you taken in regards to self-publishing?
Pretty much the same route that you've taken, except that I have a niece who is a graphic designer, and
mm-hmm.
she's able to design the books and put it into a format that can be sent, I guess you would call it, downloaded to the printer, and the printer just prints the books and sends them to me. So the only difference is I don't do the graphic design part. My niece does it.
Okay, great. It's nice to have that kind of connection to do it. And then also it means that once you're ready to go to do book signings, you can because you have your work
exactly.
already prepared and put together. I hear of the print-on-demand, some of the print-on-demand authors say they have to order them and it takes a while to do. Now, you were saying earlier that you write a lot of books about Chicago and now the kids'
mm-hmm.
books. So are you looking to stay with those two, with Chicago or the kids, or maybe go with other genres of writing, like maybe poetry or mystery?
No, I'm not really that good at poetry or mysteries or, you know, novels and things like that. I think I'm more interested in Chicago history, Chicago culture, and there's a whole lot of other stories that need to be told about this city. So I think I'm going to stick with what I do best.
Okay, and hey, I can't blame you.
Yeah.
I can't blame you at all.
There's still a lot to think about and a lot of stories about Chicago to tell.
And, you know, in regards to that, there's so many bookstores here in Chicago, and you had said earlier about promoting the work and marketing and the challenges of that. Have you tried going directly to those bookstores in our area and in the suburbs to say, hey, you know, I'm a local author, right? Why not, you know, sell my book out of your store?
Yeah, I have done that. But mostly in the city, like 57th Street Books and a couple of other bookstores on the north side, like The Bookseller, Women and Children First, those kind of bookstores, mostly the independent ones. The big chain bookstores are difficult to get your books in because they have, like, I think they have, like, a central ordering system, and you have to get your book into their system in order to get it picked up by, you know, like a Barnes & Noble and a Borders Books. So it's a little more difficult, but it's not beyond the realm of possibility, I don't think.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I know a lot of times they have select distributors they work with. It could be Ingram, for example, and it can be a pain. And to be honest with you, a lot of times I love the bookstores to make my purchases, but it can be a challenge supplying the work and keeping track of your inventory that way, going to bookstores. So, you know, I think the bottom line is we have to just keep the work in, you know, and the hard work and the efforts you put in, they pay off in the long run. Now, what kind of events do you have that are coming up? We have a few minutes here, and I want to make sure, a few minutes left, I should say. I want to make sure we get in any events that you have coming up or any additional information that you'd like listeners to know about you or your work.
Well, for sure, we should tell people that this Saturday, the Chicago Black Authors Network is having a book fair at 5200 West Chicago Avenue from 11 to 5. So several black authors will be there, probably about 10 black authors will be there on this coming Saturday. And also December. There's this week at the Thompson Center, we have something going on, don't we?
Yes. You know, it's funny, you know, both of us, I think, paused on December. It snuck up on us this month.
It certainly has. It certainly has.
Actually, the whole year's gone too quick.
Thompson Center, there's a book fair this week with the black authors. And then Saturday is the one for at Shea Rue, 5200 West Chicago Avenue.
All right.
And
well,
if you want to find out more about that, you can check the blog spot, Chicago Black Authors Network. It's Chicago chicagoban.blogspot.com.
Well, I certainly hope
Chicago
that
B-A-N.
Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, and you want to repeat that website just to make sure everyone has it?
Yes. It's chicagoban.blogspot.com. You can get information there about the book fairs.
All right. Thank you for telling us that website again. Now, I know I won't be at the first event that's on the Saturday, but the second event you mentioned, December 1st through the 3rd at the Thompson Center. It's in downtown Chicago on Randolph. I will certainly be there, so I hope I see you one, if not both, if not all three of those days.
Great. Well, I'm going to be there on Thursday, I believe, which is
okay.
The only day I'll be.
All right, great. I will look forward to seeing you. And, Bernard, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Thank you so much for calling into the program, and you're welcome to be a guest anytime you want. Just let me know.
Thank you, and thank you for being a wonderful host and inviting me.
You are welcome, and it's been a joy talking to to you, and I look forward to seeing you again real soon. You take good care.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now. All right, listeners, we just had the pleasure of talking with and listening to Bernard Turner. And, again, he's the founder of Highlights of Chicago Press. He's published so many different books that are wonderful. I have a copy of his book entitled A View of Bronzeville, and also his English-Spanish coloring book, which I had to not only get a copy for my little nephew, but a copy for myself, too. I love that coloring book. So make sure that you check out Bernard's website at highlightsofchicago.com. And that's one whole word, highlightsofchicago.com. And make sure that you order copies of his titles. You can look out for them on Amazon.com and as well of his, excuse me, I should say, as well as his Highlights of Chicago website. Make sure that you participate in those C-band events that were mentioned, with one coming up this week, December 1st through the 3rd, at the James Thompson Building on Randolph. It's that lovely red and white circular-looking building right across from City Hall. So make sure that you pop on through. We should be there between the hours of about 8:30, 9 o'clock, and about 5 o'clock. So make sure that you stop by to say hello, and more importantly, to pick up copies of all of our books. And that event, again, is from CBAN, the Chicago Black Authors Network. It has been a pleasure doing this show today. I hope everyone had an outstanding Thanksgiving, and I hope you're also looking forward to the holiday season that is upon us and all of the different holidays that are still to come up. Also look forward to a special, special, special guest that's coming up in December. We all know and love him. I'm not going to tell you who it is. It's going to be a surprise. But I can tell you he will have gifts in tow. So make sure that you call in on that special day. The only hint I'll give you is that his typical outfit is red and white. And he will be my guest in December. So make sure you become a friend of the show by going over to blogtalkradio.com/Elisec. Elisec is spelled E-L-L-A-C-E-C. Become a follower and a friend of the show. You can reach me through email by sending me a letter, a message at mailtobanks@AOL.com. It's spelled M-A-I-L. The number 2, B as in boy, A-N-K-S, at AOL.com. Everyone, take good care of yourself. Be blessed and happy holidays.